Chapter 13, Let's Talk Turkey by Willie Snow Etheridge. 13, Leander, who didn't swim the Hellespont. Mr. Wadsworth invited us to stay over the weekend, but the roommate said we must get back to Istanbul so we could go to the camp to see Mr. Big. We promised Mr. Big we would come on Sunday for a visit, and the roommate argued we couldn't disappoint him. You know how children are, he said to the ambassador. If you tell them you're going to do something, you must do it. You can't disappoint them. They will lose faith in you. Yes, replied the ambassador hesitantly, but if you could stay over, we could have a good game of golf on Sunday. I'd love it, the roommate declared, but I just don't feel we can let Mr. Big down since he's expecting us. I don't think he'd really care if we didn't come, I put in. Maybe we could send him a message. Absolutely not, the roommate was adamant. We promised him. He's no doubt been counting on it all week. We simply must go. Yes, I suppose you're right, I agreed. We took the night train, which has compartments as comfortable as that road on which you sleep like a kitten, and arrived in Istanbul about 8 o'clock Sunday morning. Mr. Wadsworth thoughtfully had telephoned the consulate to have us met by his yacht, the Hiawatha, and by a Kiwas, which is what foreign officers in the Middle East call the messenger of an embassy or consulate. Since I'm not a foreign officer, I could call him a messenger, but I do think Kiwas sounds so elegant. And this Kiwas was particularly elegant. His name was Leander, and except for a silver tooth on the right side of his mouth, he looked exactly like Victor Mature. He was born in Istanbul, but both his parents were Greek, and he has the loquaciousness and imagination and charm that I think of as peculiarly Greek. The Hiawatha lay alongside the dock in front of the station. Looking down my nose at the ferry that was taking the other passengers from the Asiatic side of Istanbul to Pera on the European side, I stepped onto the yacht. I couldn't feel more obnoxiously pleased with myself, or incidentally with the ambassador. The roommate followed. We could go immediately to the camp to see Mr. Big, Leander said. The ambassador understood how eager we were to see him and had given orders for the captain of the Hiawatha to take us directly there. We took off. Out in the harbor where the waters of the Sea of Marmara and the Bosporus and the Golden Horn come together stood a white tower, which I had seen before, of course, but had never had the chance to ask about. Now, with a born Turk at my elbow, I had the chance. What is it? I asked. It's called Leander's Tower, the Kiwas answered in heavily accented English. Remember, Leander, what swam the Hellespont? Vaguely. Well, it's called after him. But the Hellespont is not here, argued the roommate. The Hellespont is the narrows joining the Sea of Marmara and the Aegean Sea. Leander, the Kiwas, was not the swimmer, looked troubled. I think so, too, sir, but I have thought it is called for him. What difference does it make? I, who, as you no doubt have suspected, am no stickler for facts, asked. After all, he did swim somewhere in these parts and became a hero. He swam the Hellespont, insisted the roommate, Leander and Richard Halliburton. After laughing appreciatively at this witticism, I asked Leander, the Kiwas, to brush me up on Leander the swimmer. He set to with pleasure. About the time of the great Constantine, he said, there was a king who was not able to look after every part of his kingdom, so he had to make separate kings to look after separate kingdoms. Leander was the son of one of these kings. On the other side, the Asiatic side, there was a king with a daughter called Eros. Those two kings started to fight. Leander's father and Eros' father. After they fight 6 months, Leander's father has won the war and he gives Leander the kingdom of the defeated king. Well, Leander felt he was obliged to kill the king, so he had not the opportunity to start another war. But the king's daughter was very fond of father and she said, I prefer to be a prisoner all of my life if my father is left in life. Without seeing her, Leander accepted this proposition. He sent her to a monastery on the condition if father does something wrong, she will die. Nobody knows exactly where this monastery was, but somewhere on European side. Leander rested his story for a moment as he looked out over the green sea of Marmara. We were slicing through it swiftly, leaving behind the pencil-thin minarets and the domes of Istanbul. In this monastery, there were only girls and one pastor. Leander knitted his brow beneath his curly black hair and said with a heavy sigh, "My English is not so strong as I would like," and then went on with his story. It was allowed in monastery for it to be opened only one day in 7 years. Then can be visitors there. Leander made visit to monastery, and while he was walking and strolling in garden to see all the trees and beauty of the place, he saw Father on in white dress, a beautiful girl, and he fell in love with her. At the same time, without talking, she fell in love with him. When Leander goes back to his palace, he asks his congressman permission to take the girl out of monastery to become his wife. But the congressman say, "You are the young man who put her in prison. Now she must be like that, without marriage." And they also say to him, "We have beautiful girls in town. You can like one besides her." But his love was so strong, he can't find another girl, and so he looks to find a way to see this girl in monastery. It is most hard. His father starts to put guards around him. There seems no opportunity to meet her. And when he finds a maid girl from palace who says she will go to the monastery and give the girl the letter Leander writes. The maid girl is now gone to monastery, and she finds the most beautiful girl, tall, fair hair, blue eyes, and gives her the letter. Leander wrote in letter, "I will come by boat, and I will steal you, and we will go away." The girl gives an answer to the maid girl, and she hurries back to the back with the message. Now Leander starts to find out how to go away from bodyguards Father has put on him. One night, in moonlight, he gets away from guards and gets a rowboat and starts to row across the Bosphorus. I give a warning glance at the roommate. I didn't want him to come up again with the Hellespont. The guards on the other side of the Bosphorus see him rowing, Leander continued, and start to shoot on boat, and he was in big danger and was obliged to throw himself in the sea. He swam back to the Asiatic side and go again to his palace. And again, he sent maid girl to monastery to make new appointment. He wrote, "As I don't care nothing in my life but the Lord and you, I'll give you all my chances to swim Bosporus to come to you." She answered, "Look, Leander, you must be careful when you cross Bosporus. All these side places are rocks. No entrance to go on land. Only way is a secret way. I'll put candle in my window and you will follow light to find your way." Leander took the answer and put the appointment of the date. He got away from the guards during the night when they slept, and he threw himself out window by, what do you call it, call that, rope. And he swam all Bosporus and met his girlfriend and stays all night with her. Before sunrise, he goes back to palace, and he does that every night for about 3 months. One night, the pastor, what was in monastery, waked up to go to some place to pray, and he saw Eros put the candle on the window to show over Bosporus, and then go back to her bedroom to wait until boyfriend arrives. The pastor thinks that things are not right, and he takes the candle out of the window. This sounds to me like one of the great understatements of all time, but the Kawas went right ahead. Leander had passed through more than half of Bosporus when light went out. He had chance to go back, but he went on to find his girlfriend. But when he has arrived near other side, he was unable to find his way out. At same time, girlfriend is waiting in bedroom. She starts to make rings with her hands. She walks. She weeps. What, her heart asks, has happened to her boyfriend? The waters start to come up and go down. It is not easy to swim. Leander starts to be tired. The waves start to throw him on the rocks. He is unable to swim more. He is killed. The Kiwas eyed me sorrowfully with his big brown eyes. He was deeply moved by this tragic tale and trusted the roommate, and I were too. "The sun has come down," he continued. "Come down?" I asked, puzzled. "How do you call that, the sun in the morning?" "Come up." "Yes, the sun has come up. Eros come down and found Leander's body on sea. She throws his body, his, I was growing more and more confused. Her body, he corrected himself. She throws her body on C. She surrounds her hands around his neck, kissing him and calling, Leander, Leander, and throwing herself in waves to be also died. She wants no more the life. She died on his body. At the same time, Pastor runs down on rocks and he starts to call, Eros, Eros. He runs into sea. The Lord will perish me, he cried, and he dies after them in the same place. And that's the end of the Leander and Eros story. Nobody feel it is necessary to live more. Such a drama. Yes, indeed, such a drama. Leander said no more, and the roommate and I sat silent, thinking our own thoughts until a mile, or should I say a knot, or so further on, we spied Mr. Big's camp on a high bluff, black green with cedars. Half a dozen boys and girls were standing near the landing. One of them must be Mr. Big. We didn't doubt he would be watching all approaching boats, cars, and trains. We began to wave and shout. The children waved and shouted back, but curiously, none of them looked like Mr. Big. Wanting him to see us arrive so elegantly by yacht, we shouted his name, but still he did not appear. It was queer, very queer. Maybe he was ill, and the landing was too shallow for the yacht. A young man rowed out to get us. Was Mr. Big ill? No, he was somewhere around. Wasn't he expecting us? He wasn't sure. Had he mentioned it? Not that he knew of. Our feet on land, we hurried up the bluff and round the camp, searching for Mr. Big. At last we found him. He was sitting in a circle, listening to the headmistress of the camp award prizes to the occupants of the nearest tents. Mr. Big, we cried softly, pouncing upon him. Startled, he looked up. My cow, it's you. It's Sunday already. Neither the roommate nor I answered. We were too busy, hoping the question never reached the ears of the ambassador. End of chapter 13.